to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, I am so incredibly excited because we have a gentleman on the show, Ray Grijalba, who is amazing. He's a young adult who is totally in love with Jesus Christ and totally in love with the Eucharist. And his ministry, The Joy of Faith, says it all with that name. I love the name, by the way. And the title today is Eucharistic Miracles, because that has been a focal point for you. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Thank you, Deacon. Great to be on. I am really excited. God has been showing himself in so many ways, and I look forward to sharing with the audience the amazing science behind the Eucharistic miracles, and then also the stories and everything. So I'm happy to be on. Glad you invited me.
It's so wonderful. And you have a beautiful family. I know I've seen pictures. Hopefully one day I can meet them in person. But Anne Marie, you've been married how long?
We're going on 5 years.
Wow. Wow. It's kind of like
really
me, you know.
About that.
I'm going to hit 49 this year. So it's pretty similar.
Wow.
I'm just a couple years older than you, I guess. And then you have twins.
There we go.
Twins, one-year-old twins.
We do. Identical twin boys. It's really funny. I tell people on one of our first dates, I asked my wife how many kids she wanted, which probably isn't a best first date question, right? But I did it anyway. She said, one at a time in God's time. Later on, I would joke. I was just kidding. I would joke and say, good, because I don't want twins.
Oh, wow.
And then, obviously, I was kidding, but when we went and saw the ultrasound and we saw that there are twins, we were like, wow, this is amazing. So
God
is so generous.
God is so good. God is so good. And with God, all things are possible, even twins, right? Bottom line is this, you know, you're a young adult. I think you just turned 27. Is that right?
I did just a couple of days ago.
Happy birthday, belated birthday. But you're just passionately in love with Jesus Christ. Tell us about your story.
Yeah, so it's really amazing. The Eucharist has been key. I actually met my wife through the Eucharist. That's a long story, but pretty much I was your typical Catholic young person. Went to Mass every Sunday because that's what my parents said to do. You know, I always tried to be a good person and whatnot. But what really changed my life was going to Eucharistic adoration and realizing in the silence that my identity was not based on what other people thought of me. My identity was based on Christ, right? Being a son of God. So that changed everything for me. I used to be really introverted. In high school, I was always afraid to talk. I didn't want to say the wrong thing because I wanted to be cool and all that. And then I found out who I was. And now my closest friends I've met by chasing down after Mass and things like that. Because, you know, really there's nothing to fear. And if we really want to spread the faith, who better to become friends with than those that are in our parishes that, you know, we see every week, but we don't know who they are. It's by really getting to know those in our parish that the body of Christ will be visible to everyone and will, I guess, be known more for our joy, which is really why I started the Joy of the Faith YouTube channel that my wife and I do. So it's amazing. God has been, he's revealed himself in so many ways and shown really just where to go and what to do next. He just continues to open doors and, you know, being on here today is a great blessing.
My brothers and sisters, we're on the air with Ray Grijalba, who has focused on the Joy of Faith, his ministry, but also on Eucharistic miracles that we're going to talk about today. And you have had quite a faith walk. Are you a cradle Catholic?
I am a cradle Catholic, yes. So it wasn't until I turned 19 that I really started to embrace the faith, because there are a lot of reasons, but basically, I saw faith as just something that older people did, and it wasn't really necessary for life. But then when I really started to dive into things like Eucharistic miracles, I saw the truth behind it, and I'm really grateful to be able to share this today. It's powerful how one of the things I find so beautiful about the Catholic Church is that we recognize the difference in each person, right? Some people are really wired for science, right? Some people are really wired for face-to-face communications. Then we have introverts that we are all different types because God is so creative. And to me, this is something that's been very powerful in my life, and I'm very happy to share it.
And then all of a sudden now you're in this ministry that it seems to be exploding. So how did that all happen? I mean, here you're very scientific and very logical and very systematic as an engineer. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got this great ministry going.
Yes. So, you know, I obviously it's all the Holy Spirit, but my wife was a great influencer because my senior year of college, I was one of those guys that was, I thought, you know, I'm never going to lead a Bible study. That's just not me, things like that, which I'm sure some of you listening might think that as well. Like, I don't know my faith well enough to lead a Bible study, things like that. But I was in adoration one day, and it was like, you need to lead a Bible study. So I did. And we led it on the rosary, where that is in Scripture. So basically meditating on the rosary by reading the verses in Scripture that correlate to each mystery. And my brother was in it. And it started out with three guys, and that was really humbling that, you know, I'd done all this work, and that there were just three of us, right? But one at a time is something I firmly believe in. And at the end, we had like 13 guys. 2 years later, I led one, and we had like 30 guys at one of the studies on the Eucharist where we talked about Eucharistic miracles. And my wife said, Ray, you know, you need to make videos on the stuff that you're preparing because you're spending a lot of time and you're going to forget it. So sure enough, I did. And God has been so good. It's been 3 years since we started the YouTube channel, The Joy of the Faith, and just a couple of months ago, we had 600 subscribers, and as of today, we're at 18,000 subscribers, so it's really blown up. A lot of it is due to a video I did on the Shroud of Turin, which, you know, correlates what happened and what's in the Shroud to science that a lot of people really enjoyed. I've done some videos on Father Mike Schmitz and Fulton Sheen. Those are some of my heroes, I guess, in the faith. So it's been really incredible. So I work full-time at Lockheed Martin. I studied engineering, but I just transitioned into program management. So really enjoying that transition. It's a great company that I've really enjoyed working for. But it's really amazing how God has used my wife and I and Dominic and Michael, our sons, to share the joy of the faith with others. And it's priceless, I'm sure, Deacon, you know, to see people halfway around the world that I'll probably never meet in person saying, what you shared has really helped my faith and given me the hope to persevere. So that's really, again, a great blessing of being a Catholic and realizing that God can work through us as vessels to glorify him. So
we praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you for Ray Grijalba, who has said yes to you and yes to this ministry of Joy of Faith and focusing on, among other things, Eucharistic miracles. It absolutely broke my heart, Ray, when I read that survey, that study, that said approximately two-thirds of Catholics do not believe in the real presence. I believe that God has raised you up in a mighty way at a time when the church desperately needs more faith and more faith in the area of the Eucharist. To not believe that that is the real presence just is so horrific for me because they're missing out on the blessings that Jesus has in store for them. Why do you feel right now this your ministry focusing on Eucharistic miracles? Why is that so critical?
So I want to answer your question in just a second, but I was also heartbroken. I think it was 33%, something like that. I could not believe that. I have an 8-year-old sister, Christina. She's amazing. She has such a strong faith. She's now 9. But at the time, we did a video a year ago, and I said, Christina, what percent of Catholics do you think believe in the true presence? And she said, 100%. And I said, no, 33%. And you should have seen her face drop. She was so sad. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. But you see where Jesus preaches childlike faith, how that is so important. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, the teaching of transubstantiation is a very hard one. And I think that's why so many struggle with it, because today we see that there are many intellectual people out there or you know, people in general, they just want to rely on facts, science, things like that. We just want to cling to what we can measure as the truth, right? And that's done somewhat empirically through science. But transubstantiation is something so different, right? Where if you took that consecrated host under the microscope, it would still be bread, but it's Jesus at the same time. And Patrick Kaufman, he used to be the host at Catholic Answers, he said that Albert Einstein was mind blown by this concept. So here he is, one of the smartest people ever, even entertaining that thought. But I'd like to find where that source is, but I think that's really amazing to show that if we really do believe Christ, because really at the end of the day, our faith is believing in the words of Jesus. And if Jesus said, "This is my body," we must believe that it's his body. And Eucharistic miracles are a great blessing to show us that, okay, you don't believe? Here's an instance showing that this is actually my body.
My brothers and sisters, from the earliest of times within the church believed in the real presence. You can even go to the catacombs in Rome and see pictures on the wall of the Eucharist. If you take a look at John 6, of course, the famous Bread of Life discourse, and we see verse 53 of 6, John 6 through 55, Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen," which means really important. "I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." And then verse 56, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Verse 57, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Praise the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, was Jesus kidding? Was Jesus just talking symbolically? No, from the earliest of times, read the writings of the church fathers. From the earliest of times, the church believed in the real presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to be right back to talk about these Eucharistic miracles to help our faith, help us understand that this indeed is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. You should call your friends up, have them listen in, because this show is going to change people's lives. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and oh, I'm so excited. I usually don't say wow twice, but wow twice, because we're focused on Eucharistic miracles with Ray Grijalba, who has a ministry called The Joy of Faith, and part of that ministry, letting the world know the truth about Eucharistic miracles. So we'll start at the beginning. What are Eucharistic miracles, Ray?
So Eucharistic miracles are moments where God reveals the glory of the Eucharist. So there's several different types. Some of you might have heard of St. Anthony with the donkey. That's an instance. St. Clare of Assisi, things like that. But what we're going to focus on today are where the body of Christ changes into the literal body of Christ. So as Catholics, we believe, you know, transubstantiation, that when the priest says, "This is my body," that bread is no longer bread. Christ's body is now there. A great example I've heard is that, you know, when Jesus was living, if you saw Jesus, you would see that he was just a normal man, right? You wouldn't see his divinity, but his divinity was there. Just as this bread is still bread, but the divinity is there. The divine body of Christ is present. But in these instances, the bread transforms into tissue, and we'll go into that. So it's really exciting.
Now, have these miracles been studied scientifically? And let's take one. Lanciano? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, yes. So the first one was in the 8th century in Lanciano, Italy, or Italians pronounce it Lanciano when
Lanciano.
Exactly, Lanciano. You got to have your fingers in the air when you say Lanciano.
Lanciano. Molto bene.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And Deacon, you've been there, right?
Yes, I have been there, and it takes your breath away because it is real. It is Jesus right in front of you. And tell our audience exactly what it is.
Yes, so what happened was in the 8th century, there was a priest who doubted whether our Lord was truly present in the consecrated host. When he said the words of consecration, "This is my body," during Mass, he saw parts of the host turn into flesh, and the blood, you know, was in the chalice, turned into blood. So the thing that's the most amazing is that the flesh is still on display, as we mentioned before. The bread that was once there is now disintegrated, but you can still see the flesh that's within the monstrance. So this past October, my wife and I and our twin boys went to Rome, and we said we have to make a trip out to Lanciano, because my whole life I've always been moved by that. My mom taught me growing up, you know, going through CCD, that this was really the body of Christ, and we can see Lanciano as an example. And it was studied scientifically. You can actually look up the article on PubMed, which is maintained by the United States National Laboratory of Medicine, or Library of Medicine, which is the world's largest medical library. So if you speak to any doctor and you say PubMed, they know what you're talking about. So unfortunately, it's in Italian, but my friends in Italy helped me translate it into English. So for the first time ever, the results are on YouTube. So you can see that video on my Science and Faith, the Joy of the Faith YouTube channel. But what they discovered in 1970, there was this doctor, Dr. Adoro Linioli, and he analyzed this. The first thing that was amazing is that he found that there were no preservatives on this supposed flesh. So that shows that it hadn't been preserved or anything like that. Now, flesh lasting 1,200 years almost is pretty impressive, isn't it, Deacon?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it is so real and so present. It looked like it was like yesterday.
It did. It really did. And you can see the almost shimmer of light. You know, it's not just like a piece of paper or cardboard. There's a texture to it that you can see even through the monstrance. So we saw that it wasn't preserved, that it was human blood and type AB, which for those that know the Shroud of Turin, there was AB blood found on the Shroud of Turin. So it was cool to see that correlation. He also discovered that the tissue that was there wasn't any tissue from the body. It was heart tissue.
Praise God. I'm going to just stop right there, because our ministry is called Spirit-Filled Hearts. We focus on the heart.
Wow.
Because the greatest journey in the world is 18 inches from the head to the heart. The transformation, the road to Emmaus, the disciples were saying, were our hearts not burning? The heart, and to have that heart tissue there, right there in this very holy church, when you walk in, my brothers and sisters, it takes your breath away. It literally takes your breath away. You feel the holiness. You feel the presence of Jesus Christ. And then you go up on the altar to actually see the presence there in that heart tissue. And tell us more about it.
It is phenomenal. We took a lot of footage while we were there. But unfortunately, my phone wasn't backed up, and we lost all of those, which was unfortunate. But we still saved a few pictures. But it's really incredible. When you go to Lanciano to see this, it's, you know, just a church on a random city street. You would never think that there'd be a miracle within that church. And there's actually a whole exhibit and things that you can check out. But it's incredible to go there. And, you know, going back to the heart, to me, the heart is so symbolic, right? We always talk about, we often hear the phrase, the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. And here we see that the Eucharist is the heart of Jesus. You know, the heart, like you said, that's the biggest transition. You know, we hear in the Old Testament, change my heart from stone to flesh. And here, right? From stone to flesh. And then the flesh of Jesus being his heart. It's just incredible to see that and to know that this has been scientifically proven. This is written in a peer-reviewed journal on PubMed that this here was the heart of Jesus, and it's been preserved for over a millennia.
Which is absolutely
incredible. Amazing.
It is incredible, and it is Jesus. Jesus in the God is the God of miracles. Jesus is the God of blessing. Jesus is the God of transformation, and that the bread transformed, the blood transformed into Jesus again. As every Mass, you have that transformation into the real presence. My brothers and sisters, it is so important to understand that Jesus loves us. He loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's given us his body and his blood during the Mass, transformed into that Eucharist, that bread, that wine is transformed into, as Scripture says, his true body, his true blood. My brothers and sisters, in John 15:16, it says, it is not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, I may give you. Ray, you have been chosen to be this evangelist to the world about the truth of the Eucharist. Tell us about how you received that calling to have this such an important part of your ministry and important message to the world.
You know, I think that Archbishop Fulton Sheen is one of my favorite Christians ever. I mean, he's taught me more about Jesus than anyone else. And then Dr. Scott Hahn's right behind him. But he says, oftentimes, Christ has to break someone's heart to get into it. And, you know, and hearing you speak, this just came to me that so many of us have heartbreak, you know, whether it be relationships that aren't working out, you know, you literally were dumped, so you're heartbroken. And it brings such consolation to think that when we go to Mass and, you know, we literally say, Christ, I have a lot on my heart right now. Let me receive your heart and help change mine so that I can imitate you more. And I really think it's incredible that God has brought this all to light. All that I'm doing would not be possible without the work of so many. There's Mike Willacy, Ron Tesoro. These are men that did the research. Dr. Ricardo Castagnon, Dr. Linoli. Now is the time for these miracles to be shown to the world because there's such skepticism now. And I really, if there are any medical professionals out there or any scientists who could help chime in and uncover this more, I think it's needed. I've been able, fortunately, to reach out to pathologists and cardiologists. Right now is the time where people really want to follow something, right? We see how polarized the world can become and is becoming. We need to have Christ as our leader. But for those that are so, you know, their faith is in science, it's going to take science to help bring them back to the true faith. I'm really blessed because I have that mind to reveal that. Although, you know, this definitely isn't my specialty. I'm really grateful that God's used me and connected us to help share this message because I think it's so important.
It is so critical that we understand that this is the real presence. It is so critical that we understand from the earliest of times throughout history, Christians believed in the real presence from the time of the passing of Jesus. And from the time of the Last Supper, you know, and obviously when they began, you know, in the catacombs and different places, again, offering up the Eucharist and the body and blood of Christ. Now, what ramifications, and because how many total miracles are there, as far as you know, Ray?
Oh, man, I don't know how many there are. I know that there's a venerable, I think his name is Carlo Acuse or something like that. And he went and compiled all the Eucharistic miracles. I know that I think there are over 100 Eucharistic miracles that are of different natures, but there's so much for us to see and go into. In our talk today, we're just going to go through three of them that I think are best grounded in science, but there's so many out there. And really, every Sunday, there are thousands of miracles going on at every Mass in the world. And if we only humble ourselves to realize that and realize that the Eucharist can change our lives. Right, we all want to be beacons of light in this darkness, and nothing will allow us to shine but the Eucharist. But when only 30-something percent of Catholics believe in that, we won't make that difference. So it's obviously 1% at a time, but we need to realize and are blessed through science to see this proof of the Eucharist.
Now, what ramifications do these miracles have for us as Catholic Christians?
They have quite an amount of ramifications. In one of these miracles, they found out that the piece of heart was from the left ventricle, which pumps blood to the rest of the body. So I was talking to this cardiologist, and I said, what happens if the left ventricle isn't working or you don't have your left ventricle? He says, you die. So in John 6:53, where he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We literally see here that if you don't eat the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, the left ventricle that provides that life, you don't have that life. So we see another perspective, which I see is so incredible. But the ramifications that this has is that any non-Catholic out there, this shows that there's something miraculous happening within the church. And it's not just once or twice. This is seen throughout the miracles. There are commonalities, each of these miracles, and it shows the truth behind this. So if maybe you've left the church. These Eucharistic miracles can shine the light on, wow, there's something, you know, maybe the church isn't perfect. Maybe I was hurt by someone in the church, but Jesus is there. He's there in the Eucharist, and I need to receive him to become the man or woman that he's made me to be.
My brothers and sisters, we're going to be right back to talk about these three. We're highlighting three Eucharistic miracles. When we come right back, this is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're so excited to have Ray Grijalba, who has a ministry, The Joy of the Faith. And please go to his YouTube channel and type in The Joy of the Faith, and you'll be able to see the incredible miracles and ministry that he focuses on here. And we've been talking about Eucharistic miracles, and we were touching on one of them. Has the church ever declared a miracle as, say, a Eucharistic miracle, let's say, as false?
They have, and that is where I think the church gets a lot of authenticity. I think it's very helpful to see that not everything that someone says is a miracle is, because we realize that there's always faith and reason, right? There's the science that needs to be verified before we declare something as a miracle. So in November 2015, there was an alleged miracle in Kearns, Utah, and the investigation showed that it wasn't actually blood, that the appearance had changed, and there was a red bread mold instead of blood. So a lot of skeptics will say, oh, that's just mold. You should know that. But no, we can say, no, our church is actually on the diocesan website for that diocese saying, you know, we did an investigation and it came up as not a miracle. So it, again, speaks to the authenticity of the church, showing that we don't declare everything a miracle, but there are things that are miracles.
So let's talk about three of the ones that we're going to focus on here today.
The first one was Lanciano. So that was back in the 8th century. We'd alluded to that earlier. But a priest was having a hard time believing in the true presence. And when he said the words of consecration, part of the host turned into flesh. Incredible. It's still on display today in Lanciano or Lanciano, Italy. It's an amazing thing. If you ever visit Italy, you have to stop by. It's beautiful to see. It's so powerful.
It's amazing.
In 1970, there was a study, and it declared that it was AB blood, and it was heart tissue. Then we look into one. This is one of my favorites. It was actually overseen by Pope Francis back when he was a cardinal in Buenos Aires. So in 1996, this priest, Father Alejandro Pizet, was informed there was a host sitting in a candlestick on the side of the church. It was dusty, so rather than consuming it, he put it in a bowl of water to dissolve, and 2 weeks later, there was a blood-like substance that appeared with the host, like on the host, together. Now, it sat there in the, they put it in a little container in a separate tabernacle, and 3 years later, Pope Francis started the investigation. Now, this is where the science gets really cool, because what happened was they brought it to several doctors, and they saw that there were white blood cells present in the tissue. Again, the tissue was heart tissue, but what was most amazing was that so white blood cells, for those that might not know, they're basically the soldiers of the body. They only appear when there is disease or trauma. So there was some trauma that happened to this person's heart, which that would coincide very well with Jesus, wouldn't it?
Perfectly.
So what happened was they brought it to a renowned forensic pathologist, Dr. Frederick Zugebe. He's been on the History Channel, taught at Columbia University, performed over 10,000 autopsies in his career. So identifying a cause of death was something that he was very well versed in. So he analyzed it and discovered that this was from the left ventricle, which pumps blood to the rest of the body. And he said in his statement, he actually wrote this down and signed it, that there was a severe blow to the chest over the heart, which would have, again, coincided with the scourging at the pillar. And he was not informed of the history of the material. So we see there this being analyzed by someone that was so highly regarded. He wasn't just some doctor in a random place. He was used and referenced by the History Channel in some of the documentaries that they made. And he said this was heart tissue from the myocardium and that there was trauma due to it. So we see a different perspective here that we hadn't seen before. Before, they were just heart tissue, things like that. But here we see that, yes, there are white blood cells present showing that there was that trauma. But the thing that, again, looking at this from a science perspective, that's most amazing is that tissues decay over time, right? After someone dies, things begin to deteriorate.
Yes.
This tissue still had white blood cells present, and these white blood cells normally die within 48 hours. So here we have 3 years between when the miracle initially occurred and when it's put into a slide, and after 3 years, there are still white blood cells present. I talked to a pathologist last night, actually, and he said there is no way, there's no rational explanation for that to occur unless it was put in formaldehyde or something like that. And these were tested, the samples were tested for that, and that did not come up. So even Dr. Zugabe himself, after stating, yeah, this is, you know, from someone that was beaten across the chest, he said, I highly doubt that that, that that could be really just a piece of tissue placed in water. So, but again, showing the miracle of this, that even the doctor that analyzed it was like, man, that's hard to believe. We have it on camera saying it's hard to believe, and you can watch that video on my YouTube channel. So it's amazing to see that we have something documented so well that we can see the analysis performed and the disbelief at the doctor performing it. But that's really what it is, right? We say, Lord, I don't believe. Help my unbelief.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, these miracles definitely should help your faith and help you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that Jesus is the bread of life. And when he said again in John 6 and those famous verses, "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." And that couldn't be any more powerful. And when he talks about that, when we believe in him, we have eternal life. And that is just so, so important for us to understand the power of this. Tell us more about some of the other Eucharistic miracles.
Yeah, so there was one. Real quick, I want to wrap up on this. I think it's really amazing or really saddening to think that this miracle occurred because someone put the body of Christ in a candlestick rather than receiving it. You know, when we talk about the disbelief, I think this is an instance where God says, okay, whoever this person was, you might not have believed that this was truly God, this was me, but I'm going to show you in this instance and show the world that through this disbelief, again with Lanciano, a priest was having a hard time believing, but God will confirm your belief through science, which we've seen here, which is pretty amazing. But in 2006, there was in Tixla, Mexico, there were two priests and a nun distributing communion during Mass. And the nun was surprised as she brought ciborium over to show Father that a red liquid began to come out of the host. So analysis was completed years later by labs in Mexico and Bolivia, you know, trying to have two different labs as independent, you know, to not coincide with each other. They discovered that the blood is AB, which is the same as Lanciano, Shroud of Turin. So we see that uniformity there, that it's the AB blood type, that again, it's human blood, and that it's also heart tissue. So we see in 2006, another miracle showing this. They did DNA tests, actually, and they were able to discover that it was human DNA, but since it's been so degraded, they weren't able to get a match on who that person was. Incredible. If you go to my YouTube channel, you'll be able to see the documentation on this, because so many times you can hear, oh, well, this was a miracle, but where was the write-up? You know, who actually performed this? We have that in these miracles, so you can check that out on my YouTube channel under the Science and Faith playlist.
And this is the Joy of the Faith. Please check it out. Now, how has the media responded to Eucharistic miracles?
You know, I think it's really amazing because when something special happens on a secular level, everyone wants to cover it. But when these Eucharistic miracles happen, no one wants to put their name behind it because it really is the ramifications, as we mentioned before, would be shattering. You know, the Catholic world covers it pretty well. You know, on the Feast of Corpus Christi, they cover on EWTN, the Eucharistic miracles, things like that. But they actually have been kind of critical, and Poland is a great example. So Poland's known as a very Catholic country, things like that. But there was a miracle in Sokolka, and there were two pathologists that analyzed this miracle. And the universities that they worked for actually wrote an article where the title of their article is "The Medical University Dissociates Itself from the Research on the quote-unquote miracle in Sokolka." And they almost make it that the doctors did this illegally and like quietly off, you know, without getting authorization from their leadership to analyze this. So it's really unfortunate to see that those, you know, those medical professionals that have this experience can sometimes be silenced. And it's so bad that the two doctors that did it, they wouldn't even put their name on the record as saying anything because it sounds like they got it. They received a reprimand for doing this analysis. So it's unfortunate to see that, but you know, that's where, again, maybe someone listening is influential in the media and can, you know, help promote this message even more, because I think that's what we really need is, you know, you look at the Catholic Church in the 50s and, you know, Warner Brothers actually made a movie on Our Lady of Fatima. So can you imagine back then or today Warner Brothers putting out a movie on something Catholic? So I think that's where we need to really work through the culture and work through our connections to help bring the faith to others and share this truth. Like I said before, any scientists out there that are open to analyzing this stuff, that would be willing to do a video with me on this or something like that, would it'd be very helpful to help shine light on this and really dig deeper. I will say, Deacon, that there are several instances of bishops asking for supposed miracles to be discarded rather than analyzed. So I think we really face that across the board, and it's unfortunate, but that's where we need to persist in faith and really utilize the media, if possible, to help get this word out and share the truth behind these Eucharistic miracles.
My brothers and sisters, one of the most important things we can ever do is say yes to Jesus, yes to the Mass, yes to the sacraments, yes to the real presence, because it is Jesus on that altar. The priest, what a blessing it is, and transubstantiation again, in which that bread, that wine becomes the real presence of Jesus, his flesh, his blood. Yes, in the appearance of bread and wine, but from the earliest of times, again, that it was felt very strongly by the entire Christian community that this is the real presence. And you can read all the church writings. Read Thomas Aquinas, obviously, who was one of the great church doctors and leaders. Read what he has to say about the Eucharist. I mean, the more that we do the research, the more we realize that indeed, what a gift this is. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be right back to talk more about Eucharistic miracles. This Deacon Steve Greco, and we're back on Empowered by the Spirit, focused on Eucharistic miracles with Ray Grijalba, and he has a ministry called The Joy of the Faith. You can find it on YouTube. It's absolutely amazing, focusing on the documentation of Eucharistic miracles. And yet, again, as you might imagine, because we're always involved in spiritual warfare, we're always involved with the fact the enemy does not want us to believe that this is the real presence. And we have skeptics out there. And what do the skeptics say about these Eucharistic miracles, Ray?
You know, Deacon, I must say, it really saddens me to see the response of skeptics on Reddit, different chats and things like that, because they don't hold their punches back from the way they speak down on the comments. And it's really saddening. But basically what I've seen, and this is the same, I did a video on the Shroud of Turin with citing all these peer-reviewed scientific journals, and skeptics were like, nope, they would raise any issue they could. But what they see with Eucharistic miracles is, unless there's something called a chain of custody, right? What they want to see is they won't believe that it's really Jesus unless there's a 24-hour surveillance system that shows the host at every single moment from when the miracle occurs to when it is scientifically analyzed to the scientist going and saying, yes, this is this, you know, specimen, things like that. They won't believe unless they receive that. And my response is, I don't think you could ever get that. You know, there's a certain amount of faith that happens with every analysis that's performed, right? You never know that what's being performed is actually that the specimen that's being reviewed is actually the one that was provided. So that's really one of the challenges that they face. They also think it could be faked, or the miracle could have been designed using a different sample or a previous tissue that had been coated in formaldehyde or something like that. But in speaking with the pathologist last night, this would almost be impossible. I don't know. We don't really need to go into that in detail here. But unfortunately, those that are out there that are skeptical will probably remain skeptical. I've done my best to put out articles from the actual laboratories that did this analysis. But again, unless there's that perfect chain of custody, they may not believe. And that's where I think we really need to reflect on Scripture, right? There are those where, is it Paul that says, for those you could provide nothing to make them believe?
No question about it. And my brothers and sisters, you know, we know from Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Remember, Thomas doubted, but more than ever, one of the most important prayers is, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, open my eyes. In 2 Corinthians 3:16 and following, it talks about how there's a veil over our eyes. But when we pray, when we ask, when we seek, when we truly want to find the truth, that veil is removed. And then as it says in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, then we have freedom. And I believe one of the most freeing things we could ever experience is understanding the real presence, understanding the fact this is Jesus, understanding how much he loves us. He loves us so much, as Saint Mother Teresa talks about, that he allows himself to be in this bread, in this wine, allows us to be able to experience that. In John 15, it says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And I am the vine, you are the branches. And all of that ties in together into understanding the fact that this is Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. This is such an important work that you're doing and ministry that you're doing. Right now, today, we're definitely under siege. I mean, in my lifetime, I mean, obviously you're a young man, especially in comparison to me. But bottom line is this, is that the world is really under siege with COVID-19, with all the issues impacting us and all the worry and concern and so forth. More than ever, we need faith. More than ever, we need to understand that we have, through the Mass, the true presence of Jesus Christ. And it's so important. And of course, I don't know, I'm assuming in Kentucky, where you are, it was the same as California, where we were, in which we weren't able to go to Mass for a number of months.
Wasn't it sad?
Oh, it's unbelievable. But you know, I believe so strongly in that we are in a war. Yeah, obviously Scripture talks about it, church history talks about it, that we are in a war with the enemy, with Satan, with the demonic angels. And if you're Satan, if you're part of that demonic world, what would you want to do? You would want to stop people from going to Mass. You'd want to stop people from receiving the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. You would want to stop that. And so, you know, what an attack upon us, right? And so it's so important for us to pray for the church, to pray for the priests, to pray for the ability to receive the body and blood of Christ. More than ever, it's critical that we pray, that we believe, that we step out in faith. Your thoughts on all that?
I'm a firm believer that us living now, we are going to change the world through the Holy Spirit, and obviously through the Eucharist, which is the source of life and the source of joy. You know, this is a very, so my favorite Bible verse is John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it or overcome it in some translations. We have a great opportunity now, a great opportunity to show the courage and joy that Christ can bring us. I'm sure we all have family or friends that have left the faith or, you know, are now in that Protestant church and they're on fire with their faith and they're, you know, why would I come to the Catholic Church? Because what is the essence of Catholicism? It's receiving the Eucharist. All of the other sacraments flow from the Eucharist, right? We go to confession so that we can receive the Eucharist. We are baptized so we are part of the body of Christ and can receive the body of Christ. But the question that I think we all need to ask ourselves is, how much do I believe that the body of Christ can change my life? Do I go to every Mass, and after every Mass, when I receive Christ, you know, I pray my thanksgiving, and I'm like, God, I can do anything through you now. I think that's really where we need to reflect. And I hope these Eucharistic miracles help bring that to light, especially for those that are down and really have a hard time believing. One of my favorite Christians is Tim Tebow. He was a pivotal player in my faith in college, you know, helping me be pure and things like that because I saw his witness. Imagine him receiving the Eucharist and being on fire for faith through that. Those are the people, like, We need to bring souls to Christ, to the Eucharist, and I think pointing them to Eucharistic miracles and the science behind that will help them say, huh, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something in the church. Maybe, you know, a lot of people can look at the church and feel like, oh, it's not in great shape right now. But at the same time, through the power of the Holy Spirit in receiving Christ, we can change the world. And I think that we will. I can tell you there's so many times in my own life that I've been exhausted. You know, I just want to give up, you know. But the Eucharist has allowed me to persevere. And I pray that it'll do that for you as well. And I really think that, you know, it just takes one soul to change the world. Father Mike did this video on, I have it on my YouTube channel. It's my number one video. It's the most inspiring thing I've ever heard. That's what it's called. Think about what one saint did. Think about what Thomas Aquinas did for the church. Think about what Teresa of Avila did for the church. Think about what Peter, of course, did for the church, what Paul did for the church, what Our Lady, of course, did for the church. You can be that person that changes the world. And maybe the world that you change is just the life of one person. You know, maybe you're like, oh, I don't have a big influence. But you bring one soul closer to Christ. And how do you do that? Through the Eucharist. Because it's not I, but Christ living through me. And he's living through you through the Eucharist that you receive his heart, right? We receive his heart in the Eucharist, which these miracles show. All of these miracles show that it's the heart of Jesus. We receive his heart, and he transforms our heart to help love the way that he would love, so we can be Christ's hands in the world.
Can I sing Alleluia now, by the way? Alleluia. You're absolutely right. And that's why, again, our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, it is about a transformation, my brothers and sisters. It is about a metanoia. It is about complete change in which Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. When you believe in the real presence, when you go to Mass on a routine basis, and certainly you go to Mass at any time, you're transformed when you believe. When you say, my Lord and my God, I believe. When you believe in that real presence, when you believe that Jesus is Lord and make him Lord of your life, everything changes. That's what this show is all about. Empowered by the Spirit. It is not a coincidence that we call this show Empowered by the Spirit, because you see, we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, at confirmation. But as a 7-year-old girl once asked me, did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism? I said, yes. And then she asked me a critical question. Why is he hiding? My brothers and sisters, you have to let the Holy Spirit be released. Come, Holy Spirit, enkindle in me the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit. And when that happens and you believe, then when you go to Mass, receive the body and blood of Christ, the real presence, that real presence will transform you because you allow it to transform you, because you allow the Holy Spirit to be released within you. Do I hear an amen, Ray?
Amen, yeah.
So I just can't begin to tell you how thrilled we are that you've been on the show. We'd like to have you back again. We certainly support your ministry, the joy of the faith. We ask everyone to go on YouTube and be able to experience that. And I'm sure you have a website too, correct?
Not yet, but I'm looking to start.
Okay, well, when that website comes out, you can go to it. But in any case, bottom line is this. You're doing amazing work for the Lord, and I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Father,
of course, it's my pleasure.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful man, Ray Grijalba, for the Joy of the Faith ministry that he has. We ask for that we believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ, that we believe in these miracles, so because every Mass is a miracle. We ask, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit to be released within us. We ask, Lord God, for us to be transformed by your love through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray healing upon everyone listening spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. In Jesus' name, I bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week. at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.